Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Verse number 1 of Psalms 26, this was a psalm that was wrote by the psalmist David. He's called the psalmist David because the majority of the psalmist was wrote by David. Not all, but the majority. So he's rightfully been given the title the psalmist David. He said, first of all, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Verse 4, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evil doers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, we pray in Christ's name that you would help me today. I pray that you would use me, you would not refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do for your glory this morning. I pray that every mind will be ready, every heart receptive to the preaching and teaching of the infallible Word of God. Thank you for the song service. We really enjoyed that again today, and we thank you for everyone that sung. We thank you, Lord, for those that taught Sunday school. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you, Lord, for allowing Brother Jimmy to have some family with him, and Miss Renee and Wanda, Lord, and what a real blessing, Lord, to see Becky, the family back, and we pray that you'd help us, Lord, now as we enter into the preaching time, that you'd be honored and that there'll be no disturbances. Help everyone to understand how important this time is, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The other day, I believe it was either Wednesday or Thursday, I was riding down the road and taking care of some of my responsibilities, and I passed by a church that had a sign out front, about like our sign, where you can not only read what the church name is and their service times, but you can read that they have little messages that they put on their board. And the message they had on their board relates to the season that we're in, and it's a very simple question, but it's a very question that we need to think upon today. And the question was this: what are you thankful for? As I read that, the first thought, not being critical, but I thought they didn't put a lot of thought into that sign. They don't have a Wendell Harris in their church, amen, that puts time and energy into it. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it was accomplishing its purpose. It had me thinking. And that's what messages, whether they're on a sign or come from a man's voice behind a sacred desk, that's what ought to be doing, helping you think about something. And so I began thinking about that. What are you thankful for? Well, I thought, that's a very, very long list. I thought about, what are you not thankful for? And I started thinking about things that in my flesh that I'm really not at times thankful for. Someone said the Bible says to thank God for everything. The Bible has never said that. You can't thank God for sin. You can't thank God for people murdering each other. You can't thank God for kids getting abducted, can you? It says in everything. While you're in, whatever you're in, give thanks. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say give thanks for everything. It says in everything, give thanks. No matter how bad your situation is, there's still something you can be thankful for. Are you with me today? So I got thinking about that. What are you thankful for? And you know, I know that we adults can be guilty of having a childful attitude about some of the things we're thankful for. There are things that we value a little more than we should value those things. There are some things that you may think if you didn't have it, you couldn't survive, but you could. And a lot of times we put emphasis on those things. And I got thinking about the things that we ought to be really thankful for. Now, I'm not saying today that those other things you ought to take for granted. But what I'm saying to you today, what I'm trying to direct your attention to, is this fact and this question: what are you really thankful for? Or what should you and I be really thankful for? Now, I know that we could mention or write down some things that we're thankful for that we're thankful. When I say we're not really thankful, I'm not saying that we're hypocritical. I'm just saying we're just not overwhelmed with gratitude about it. We're just not overwhelmed with thankfulness about it. We're thankful, but we take it for granted. But I'm talking about there are some things that we have, and I want you to concentrate on this Thanksgiving season, that we are to be really thankful for. There's just some things in our life that they're just a little extra in life. They're just a little extra. I mean, we're not going to die if we don't have them. You know, we would be okay, but they're just little extras in life. And I thought about those things, and I thought that I don't want to take them for granted, but they don't qualify for things that I should be really thankful for. I think there are some things in life that you ought to be thankful for, and then there are some things in life that hold a higher place or should in your life that you ought to be really thankful for. The problem is we get so focused on those little extras of life that we forget about the things we ought to really be thankful for. And so I asked my wife this morning, I said, honey, she was in there cooking, and I was sitting down at the table writing some notes down, and I've been thinking about this, and I just was jotting some things down. I said, honey, and I explained to her what was on my mind, and I said, what are some things that you have, but they don't qualify for something to be really thankful for? And so she thought a little bit, and she said, well, she said, my laptop computer. I said, that's good. She said, my camera. I said, well, that's good. I'm thinking, what? She's doing good. She said, my cell phone. I said, yeah, I guess you're right. She said, my refrigerator with an ice and water dispenser. She said, my jewelry, my husband. She said several other things after that, but I was so shocked I couldn't comprehend anything she said. I guess I set myself up for that one, about like these ladies set us up whenever they put on a new dress and they say, honey, do I look fat in this? Don't fall for it. Turn and walk away. So honestly, there are no doubt in our minds today, hopefully we'll get to that place, if you got a mind, that you understand that there are some things that we ought to be really thankful for. There's these blessings in our life that are just extreme blessings. They're blessings that if we think about it, we ought to have such massive gratitude for it being in our life. So with that being said, I want to speak about some things that this Thanksgiving season, and not only this Thanksgiving season, but every day of the year ought to be a thankful day. But these things that we are to be really thankful for. You know, you as and I as God's children, there are some things that I want to say today that I hope you relate to. I'm going to mention some things that qualify as things we are to be really, really, really thankful for. We're to have such a great heart of gratitude and appreciation for these things that I'll mention that we never miss a day that we don't say to our God, thank you, Lord, for these things. I've got a lot of other things, Lord, and I thank you for that, but they don't qualify as these things do for some things I am really this Thanksgiving season thankful for. A Puritan, you know, sometimes we're not as thankful because if something is not a big thing, we're not thankful at all. We're not as thankful as we are to be. But I was thinking about the story of a Puritan. They were told the story that it was very hard times many, many years ago for this Puritan family, and they began to share their meals with each other. The neighbors would go to the other neighbors and they would share. One day, this Puritan family invited another Puritan family over for supper. I mean, food was getting very scarce at this time. And they all came in and they looked at the table and nothing was there but bread and water. And they all sat down around the bread and water, and you could tell on their face they were discouraged. Their heart was broken. They could see how devastating times had got for them. Well, the owner of the house whom he invited the others over was an old man. He's an old Puritan. And he knew Jesus Christ. And he walked in and he sat down at the head of the table and he looked and he said, all this and Jesus too? We're blessed. All this and Jesus too. Praise God. If you got Jesus, you got everything you need. And I thought about that there are some things that we're not really thankful for. We're going to be honest today. We might as well. God knows our heart. There are just some things that we're not really thankful for, and we don't seem to really want to find ourselves being thankful for whatever situation we find ourselves in, and we can't see the positive because our eyes is on all the negative. But I'm telling you, God is always going to be God, and He's always going to be good. The story of a lady by the name of Cora Ten Boom. Her and her sister lived many years ago when Hitler decided to rule the world. And of course he used his vast army, the German army, to try to conquer the world. And you know the story of Hitler. And you know about the prison camps that he set up. And a true story that these two sisters were placed in one of the worst prison camps known in that day. They were placed into a prison camp that was overcrowded and little food. But one of the worst things she said about it was that it was infested by fleas. I don't know if you've ever been bit by a flea. I guess most of you have. But that is irritating. Them little red whelps come up, but can you imagine? And what about a flea? You can see a flea on your skin. If you're not quick enough, he doesn't jump to another part of your body. But once he takes a bite of you, he likes you. He don't just take a bite and leave. He likes to hang out a little while. He likes the buffet bar. And they can be irritating, and you're itching and scratching, and it's irritating. Can you imagine being in a prison camp that was infested by fleas, and there's no medicine, anti-itch medicine, there's no way to kill the fleas, and those fleas just continue to bite and bite and bite and bite those two sisters? They had snuck part of a Bible in the prison camp, and they decided that every morning, every night, they were going to have a Bible devotion, just them two. They felt like that if they were going to get through this, it had to be God. And so they, one day, the sister of Korah was reading from 1 Thessalonians, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And the one sister looked at her other sister, Korah. By the way, she wrote this in the work called The Hiding Place. If you want to look it up and read it, The Hiding Place. And she thought to herself, there's no way that I can be thankful for a flea-infested prison. How can I be thankful for a bunch of fleas that's eating my body up? But she said that by God's help, she began to thank God for the situation and trusted that God knew what he was doing. They were amazed that not long after that, they were continuing to have Bible studies, reading their Bible and having prayer time, and others were getting involved without the guards interrupting and threatening to beat them or even kill them for doing that Jesus stuff. She said that eventually they found out why the guards never came in there and interrupted them. You're right. Because of the fleas. The guards would not enter that prison because of the fleas. God had allowed that little flea, even though it's biting their bodies up, but it gave them an opportunity to have a Bible, read it, and pray. Amen? So I want to ask you today to think on the things that we are to be really thankful for, really, really thankful for. The first thing that I would say to you that we all are to be really, really thankful for is our special people in our life. I could say a lot of things about special people in my life and special people in your life, and you could say a lot of things about the special people in your life, but I guess we could break it down in two categories. I would say the first special people in our life is family. Now, I know that family is not as big of a deal in our day as it used to be, and that's sad, very sad. Jesus prophesied that members of the family would turn against each other in the last days. And we're living in that day. But for you and I that are saved, we can say that if we live right and we try to forgive, we try to be an example, we try to be Christ-like, for the most part, we could say that we have special people in our life, and they are right there in our own family. I thank God for my wife. I'm telling you, Angela Renee is a gift from God to me. I'm telling you, she is God's gift to me. She is a special person in my life. I thank God for her love, her devotion. Thank God for her helping. She is truly my right arm in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that if you're right with God today and you've done things scripturally, you're also thankful for your spouse. I guess there's four or five of you. The rest of you are dismissed, so I'll preach to these five. I'm thankful for mine. When you pray that God gives you a spouse and not that you go get it, when God gives it, you never go wrong. When I got saved, I read the scriptures in Psalms 34, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that wait on the Lord or seek the Lord, they shall not want any good thing. Not that you won't desire it, you won't want it because you already got it. That's what it means. You'll get the good things. Then I remember the old scripture, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I said, Lord, give me a good thing. And that's what I prayed. And God has given me a good thing. I thought about my own children. Aren't you thankful for your children? I like to reminisce. My children don't like it too much. They don't like when I talk about some of the things we passed, and I won't tell it, Morgan. We passed the day friendship daycare to the day, and the kids were out there on the blue and red tricycles. And I remember we'd take Matthew up there to Friendship Learning Center, and he always said the fastest tricycles was the blue one, son. Blue ones. And he said, we knew they were the fastest ones. Well, you and I know that the harder you pedal, the faster it goes. But to him, the blue one was always faster. I mean, the boy loved racing even before he really understood racing. He liked fast cars already. And he said, and so I made fun, I said, I remember riding by and looking and there'd be Matthew on one of them tricycles out there. They had a lap out there, and boy, he'd wide open. He'd about knock you off the track like Garrett would knock people off the go-kart track. And I thought, I reminisced, and we were talking this morning about Matthew when he's a little fella. He sat about that far from the TV screen. He sat right on the floor. He'd cross his legs, put his hands down in between his legs, and he was focused on that TV. And you could talk, but he didn't hear you. And then I got talking about Morgan and some things of her coming in there whenever she'd be in her bedroom as a little girl, and I'd say, Morgan, Morgan. And she'd come around the corner holding a baby doll around the neck. She was rough. She'd come by there, she didn't look like she was about that tall. Had that baby doll, she'd come around the corner, and she had that blonde hair down her eyes. She'd, what is it, Daddy? What is it, Daddy? And I said, give me some Daddy. And the mom said, give Daddy And she'd come here and give me some on my cheek. Well, you know I don't get much anymore. I guess eventually I'll get some but say, give me some And she'd say, if I give you can I have some gunk? That was drink. Gunk, she called it. Gunk. And so Angie and I was talking this morning. You know what I suggested? Let's have another one. I said, let's start again. So she's going to North Carolina and I'm going somewhere else. Special people. Our family. I thank God for my family. My dad is mounting a pulpit at this time, preaching at Whispering Pines Baptist. My mom has just taught Sunday school. No doubt she probably sung a song this morning, probably with my sister. My brother's an evangelist. He's probably preaching somewhere today. My father-in-law just got done teaching his Sunday school class, his adult Sunday school class. My mother-in-law, God bless my mother-in-law. My wife said in Sunday school, I'm not, she said, this is her words, I'm not in a real hurry to get to North Carolina. Well, that's because of my mom. But I'm not in a hurry to get to North Carolina because of her mom. Amen. Everybody knows that's not so. Not that you know of. But anyway. No, I love Pat. She treats me like a son. But I just thank God for the special people in my life. My brother-in-law, I think he teaches Sunday school. My sister-in-law helped lead the lady at her church. And God's given me a special family. But you know, besides my physical family, I got a church family. A spiritual family. A family that I thank God for. That I appreciate. As I said about Brother Tim, I said about Brother Darrell, like I said about many of you in this church, you're special people. Then I think about not only my friends, but my family, but my friends. Aren't you glad for friends? Do you ever get like me, that you feel like you could live on an island just by yourself and think you'd be a whole lot happier? You think, God, it's like to be by myself. Leave me alone, everybody. You know, and then, you know, it won't be long, you come to your senses. Amen. Amen. You know, I told my wife, yesterday I went a little deer hunting, and I left my jacket in the truck thinking I'd be a big boy. I told her, she got home and she said, you could have stayed home with me. And I said, I wish to God I had it got cold. I said, it got cold. I was leaned up against a log and my leg got the shaking that the log, this is a God's truth, it got the shaking. I mean, I had the shivers. And, but I said, that old buck ain't going to win. I'm going to win. Well, guess what? The buck won. Buck one, Lee zero. And so I come home and I said, she said, well, you like being up there by yourself. And I said, you know, I do like going up by myself. I do a lot of thinking. I just do a lot of talking to the Lord. I'm by myself. Nobody bothers me up there. And I said, but you know what? I said, there's times like tonight I got lonely. Thank God for friends. I want to say, second of all, I'm just going to give you this so you can eat, because I know some of you have already got that on your mind. I guess I should say you ought to be really thankful for turkey and dressing, but that's not part of the service today, the message. But I want to say you ought to be really thankful for the Scriptures. Thank God for the Bible, the Word of God, that we can go to and we can read and we can get some help, some understanding. We can get some wisdom. We can get some advice that we so desperately need. So often when we try to make decisions, and there are people that mean well in our life, but all you do is hear their voice. You need to break away and hear God's voice. Because His voice is a still, small voice. And, you know, people mean well in our life. Some don't mean well, but the right kind of people mean well when they want to give you advice. They love you. But ultimately, you need to break away and block everybody else's voice out. And you need to hear His voice. Get His direction. And you can do that through the Word of God, the Scriptures. The Bible says that through the Scriptures we're saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank God for the Scriptures. I'm thankful that, number one, they're inspired. I'm glad this book was not authored by a man. I'm glad God authored this book. Man was nothing more than God's pen. Man just wrote what God inspired for him to write. But God is the author. Therefore, the Scriptures are inspired. Amen. This is the only book that God wrote. The only book. As vast of wisdom that God has, the Bible says that He is wisdom. If any man lack it, ask God. He'll give it to you. But the one with all the wisdom that we can't even fathom it in our little brains how much wisdom He is. And He only wrote one book, the Bible. There's only one book that'll save you, the Bible. There's only one book that you're going to be judged by at Judgment Day, the Bible. There's only one book that is forever settled in heaven, the Bible. A lot of good books have been written, but there's no book like this book. You ought to be really thankful for the Scriptures, folks. You ought to be really thankful for the Scriptures. Then it's not only inspired, but it's eternal. You better believe it, because that's the way it is. Then the third thing, I'd say the Spirit of God. You and I know Him as Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. We ought to be really thankful for the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God, number one, comforts us. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I will send a comforter. That comforter is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. You and I as Christians ought to be really thankful for the Spirit of God because it brings us comfort. When your heart is broken, when you can't see plainly because your eyes are full of tears and you cry on your pillow at night when no one else is around, the Spirit of God brings us comfort. The second thing the Spirit of God does is it counsels. I'm glad that I can read my Bible and the Spirit of God abides in me and it can give me spiritual enlightenment, spiritual understanding. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will guide you and lead you, counsel you in the way you are to live for God. Thank God, Holy Spirit lives in me. It abides in me. If you're saved, He abides in you, and Holy Spirit is not a it. It's not a thing. It's a person. He's real, amen. So we ought to be really thankful for the Spirit of God. It comforts, it counsels, and it also confirms. The Bible says the Spirit of God is our seal until the day of redemption. That's talking about to the day we walk in the gates of heaven. Forever, forever, forever with Jesus Christ. Until then, the Spirit of God conceals us or confirms that we are His children. The Bible says that once you're saved, automatically you don't get the Spirit of God a month or two or a year later. As soon as you're saved, Holy Spirit abides in your life. The Bible says that we know we're the children of God because the Spirit of God abides and lives in us. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Spirit of God, and we ought to be really thankful for it because it confirms that we're born again. It confirms that we are the children of God. It confirms that we're on our road to heaven and our sins have been all forgiven. Hallelujah. Then the last two things, not only our special people, the family and friends, the Scriptures that's inspired, eternal, the Spirit of God that comforts, counsels, confirms, but the sanctuary. I'm telling you, folks, you and I are to be really thankful for the sanctuary. A place that you and I can go on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, on Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, whatever it is, if you're broken in your heart and you need to come to the sanctuary by yourself and kneel at the altar, just come. Sometimes I come in here and I just sit on the pew. I just sit here and talk to the Lord and just think. And I always face those cross and especially focus on that middle cross. And I focus on that and I realize that Jesus ain't hanging there no more. He's done did what He's supposed to do when He became the atonement for you and I. And He arose the third day from the grave. Hallelujah. And I focus that He's a living Savior. He's living. He's real. And that He knows what I go through. But I find such peace and comfort and joy and fellowship. And I find such learning in the sanctuary. Someone said the other day, they said, Pastor, since I've been coming to And they meant it well, but they said, your church, which is this our church, but she was talking as a pastor. She said, I've grown so much in the Lord. I have just got so spiritually strong. Where did that come from? That come in the sanctuary. You ought to thank God for the sanctuary. And then last of all, I want to say to you that we ought to be really thankful. Psalmist David said, I want to publish with the voice of thanksgiving. I don't want my voice to be silenced. I want my voice to be heard. And I want to have a voice of thanksgiving, not only this Thanksgiving season, but every day of the year that I live, every day that I live, I want my voice of thanksgiving to be heard. I want it to proclaim my thankfulness for my Savior. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God we got a Savior. Thank God that He saved us. Thank God that He changed us. Thank God that He loved us. Thank God that He delivered us. Thank God that He redeemed us. Thank God that He sanctified us. Thank God that one day He's coming back for us. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Oh, you ought to be really thankful today for Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God He's not just some other man that founded some other religion. Oh, thank God He's God in the flesh. He's Almighty God, Creator. I'm telling you, I thank God for my Savior. May not always be true to Him, and you may not always be true to Him. You and I let Him down at times. You and I hurt His feelings. We break His heart. But thanks be to God, He still loves us. And I know within my heart that I have a Savior. I don't doubt this morning that I've been saved. Because I've got a Savior. Oh, we ought to be really thankful for the Savior. Where would you be if you had no Savior in your life? There's a reason, folks, He's called Savior. Because your life and my life needed some saving. Some of you, your marriage needed some saving. Your family needs some saving. And then Jesus passed by. And so today, because He's saved, it's just natural to call Him Savior. Thank God for the Savior. Thank God that He was willing to go and shed His blood on Golgotha's cross that we might be saved. I want you to be really thankful this day, this week, Thursday, Friday, when you celebrate the holiday, Thanksgiving. I want you to give thanks for those things I mentioned that you really, really, really ought to be thankful for. You really. They deserve extra attention. They deserve an extra thank you, God. Thank God for His blessings on us.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.